So we're in a little bit of a series in Matthew chapter 7 we've been looking at, and it all started a few weeks back when I was looking at this passage about the rock, about build your life on the rock. It's in Matthew chapter 7, and these words of Jesus I think are really important, and I don't know that I've ever thought about it as much as I have here lately. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And there's that idea of these words of mine, and he's finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. So I've actually been going backwards in the Sermon on the Mount. Instead of starting at the beginning and working forward, I'm working backwards. And I'm looking at all the words of Jesus, all the things that he's taught during this Sermon on the Mount. And it's wonderful to read the words. It's wonderful to study these words. It's wonderful to look at them. But really, we're not doing what we need to do if we don't put them into practice. He says, he who hears these words of mine, not just hear them, but put them into practice. Do the things that he's saying throughout, not just the Sermon on the Mount, but all the things that Jesus taught to us. We need to put them into practice. And sometimes that's more difficult than what we realize. So I'm looking at this morning, I'm backing all the way up to chapter 7, verse 7, and it's a very common, I preached on this passage of Scripture so many different times, and I thought when I started at the beginning of the week, this is going to be no big deal, and it's very simple. Jesus says, this is what he says, these are his words, and this is what he wants us to put into practice. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. He says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So I know I've said this 1,000 times since I've been here, in the years that I've been here. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you. And there are so many different passages of Scripture that has that same idea. As a matter of fact, Jesus repeats this many times in very different ways. So actually, this exact same teaching Jesus gave in another place, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. It's the exact same teaching, different concept, different time, different avenue that he's speaking. So in Luke chapter 11, it says Jesus teaching on prayer, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, and then he says to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Now, if you come to my house at midnight and ask for 3 loaves, anyway, so I'm not going to go into that story, but friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of this man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Verse 9, so he says, so I say to you, here it is again, Jesus is saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Nor if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Again, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus says it again. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 18, it seems like it's happening all over again. At Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it says this. Again, I tell you, these are Jesus' words. He says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Do you see the common thing there? Asking, and it's being given. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 21, I'm going to go through these kind of slowly. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. It says this. I'm going to back up to verse 20. It says, the disciples saw this. They were amazed at how the fig tree withered so quickly. And they asked Jesus, I tell you the truth. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Whatever you ask for. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Take a look with me in John chapter 14. These are all Jesus' words. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I'm going back up to verse 12. He says, I tell you the truth. There it is again. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Anything. Wow. Take a look at John chapter 15, if that's not enough. John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He who cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You already have clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such a branch are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. Verse 7, if you remain in me, do you get the kind of theme what he's talking about, remaining in Jesus? He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Take a look in John chapter 16. Begin at verse 22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Verse 23. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. Again, ask. Take a look with me in James, the book of James, chapter 1. James is right after Hebrews. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Let me say that again. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. And God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James chapter 4. Since we're in James, let's look at James chapter 4. Begin verse 2. Well, let's start at 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires of battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Ask. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. You're thinking, man, this is a lot of scripture. Are we going to be covering all these today? Because this could be a long time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. 1 John chapter 5. Begin at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So, this is, y'all looking at me like a little strange. It's a lot of scripture. This is really powerful stuff. I don't know that we really get and understand this, but this is really powerful stuff that God gives to us. He promises us that Jesus says, he says, you know what? If you hear these words of mine, did you hear what I read over and over and over again? Did you hear those words? Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, if you ask, it will be given to you. It will happen. Here's the amazing thing, that so many times we don't even ask. Do you get that? So many times we don't even ask. And sometimes I think the reason that we don't even ask is because we think back into our past, we think, well, I asked for this and it didn't happen, or I asked for that and it didn't happen, or this didn't happen, or whatever. And so we stop asking. You see, the whole idea of ask, seek, and knock, each one of those ideas are a persistence thing. It's something that we continually ask, we continually seek, we continually knock over and over and over and over and over again. And so many times I think people apply that in the wrong way. Okay? So many times I think we think of the persistent window that keeps knock, 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 knock. It kind of reminds me of Seinfeld and Kramer. Big Bang Theory. He keeps Penny, 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 Penny. That persistence of continually doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again until we get the result that we want. Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's that persistence of we continue to ask for the same thing over and over again, because God answers every single prayer every time we ask it. You know, we all know this. This is a sermon that's been preached 1,000 times over. God answers every prayer. He says, yes, no, or not right now. Yes, no, or not right now. Every prayer is answered. But sometimes I think we continue thinking the persistence is we keep asking the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we have this idea that if we keep asking it over and over and over again, we're eventually going to get what we want. But here's the thing about the passage of scripture that we read at the very beginning. He says the Father gives good gifts to those who ask, all right? And a lot of things that we're asking for are not good things for us. And God says, no, I don't want you to have that. You don't need that in your life. It's not something that's going to draw you closer. It's not something that's going to advance your relationship with me. It's not something that you really need to have. It's not something that you really should have. But can we continually ask? And a lot of times when we continually ask that God would provide these things for us, if he does not provide those things for us, those things that we think we want, things that we need, when we don't get those things from God, what do we usually end up doing? We go out and what? We get it anyway. We do it by our own means, by our own resources, by our own knowledge, by our own understanding. And usually when we do those things, I don't know if anyone else has recognized this or found this out in their life, but a lot of things that I think I really want, a lot of things I think I really need, and I ask God for, and he doesn't provide in the way that I think he should, and I go out and get it myself, those are the things that really aren't what I think they should be, or not really what I wanted, and really doesn't take me into a place that God really wants me to be, and provides for me in the way that he wants to provide. You see, he says, I provide the good things in your life. So I don't think this persistence is penny, 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 penny. I think what God is really looking for, and this is what I woke up to this morning, and this is going to be pretty short, all right? I don't think it's that persistence. I think it's a consistency that God is looking for in our life. It says continually ask, continually seek, continually knock over and over and over again. You see, you got to remember the context in which this was given to us. Actually, if you look both in Matthew and in Luke, in both places, if you look at the context in which Jesus is teaching about this idea of ask, seek, and knock, and all these things will be given to you, you'll get these things. If you look at the context with it, each time it's right before the Lord's Prayer. If you have your Bibles and are still with me, or are still paying attention, turn back just one page in my Bible to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer. He says, this then is how you should pray. Listen to what he says. Our Father, my Lutheran part comes out in me, who art? I'm sorry. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Recognizing that God is God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as we're praying, we're acknowledging that God is God. And we're acknowledging that what we desire, what we want, is what God wants. His will be done, not ours. And so many times when we come to this idea of prayer, we're coming to God and we're saying, you know what? He tells me I can get whatever I ask in his name. So I'm just going to go and I'm going to tell him what I want over and over and over again. I'm going to be persistent in it. And by golly, he better give it to me. But we're missing what God is really calling for us to do. He's calling for us to be consistent in our prayer time and come to him with the same heart and attitude every single time at every moment of every day and every decision and all of our wants and all of our needs. He's asking us to come to him and ask for his will to be done in our lives. Amen. And if we look for his will to be done in our lives, he will bring it about. He says very plainly, this is how consistent, how much he wants us to ask, how much he wants us to seek, how much he, my hand's knocking, how much he wants us to knock, how consistent and persistent he wants us to be in this. He wants us to do it so much that we do it for our daily bread. Listen to what he says. He says, on earth as it is in heaven, he says, give us today our daily bread. He wants us to be so persistent, so consistent in our prayer life and acknowledging him and coming to him that we don't take him for granted for a single morsel of our food, for a single drip of our drink. He wants us to acknowledge him in every aspect of our lives. He wants to recognize that every ear of corn, every little plant that's out there right now in the fields that are breaking through the ground and are about this tall. Some of them are a little bit bigger than others. But about this, Paul, every single plant, every bean, every wheat, everything that is out there growing right now is not growing just because that's how it is. You put it in the ground, you get a little water, and it's going to come up and grow. It's not growing because of that. Every single kernel of corn is coming because Jesus Christ, God our Father, is allowing it to happen. Farmers, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're incredible. You're doing your part in this process, but you can't make a single kernel of corn come out of the ground. Not one. That's God's job. And he does it consistently, persistently, and perfectly every time with every kernel that he chooses to make breakthrough. And it's the same thing with us. If we don't recognize and start understanding that all that we have and all that we are, if we don't start recognizing literally our daily bread is a gift from him, we're going to start taking it for granted and start thinking our food came from the grocery store. We are. And as soon as we start thinking that our food came from the grocery store and that it's always going to be there, guess what happens? All of a sudden, we become self-reliant in ourselves about what we're eating and what we're drinking and what we're doing. And guess what? You're not. You are not. What God is asking us to do is to get our minds focused on who he is and what he's doing on a daily basis and stop taking him for granted. It says very plainly, it says very plainly on this page here, give us today our daily bread. Recognize it comes from God. And no place else it says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Here's the thing. Wow. It's not just his provision of our food and our air and all the things that he surrounds us with and gives to us on a daily basis. But literally, one of the things I think we take for granted more than anything else, honestly, is a daily forgiveness of God that he gives to us of our sins. As Christians, we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we recognize that our sins are wiped out by the blood of Jesus, and we have forgiveness of sin. We have God's grace. We have God's mercy through the blood of Jesus. Amen. 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 But here's the thing. Man, if we don't remember it, if we don't continually recognize the sin coming into our lives and come to Jesus and say, Lord, you know what? I am struggling with this today. I need your help. If we are not doing that, if we are not acknowledging God on a daily basis on the struggles that we're having and turn them over to him, we are going to get to the point where we're going to take that amazing grace that God has given to us through Jesus and we're going to take it for granted. And we're going to stop thinking about it, and we're going to stop recognizing it. And when we start doing that, we start living our lives for ourselves instead of for him. And when we start doing that, we start getting further and further away from God. What he's wanting, the consistent, persistent ask, seek, and knock, is that we continually recognize him and acknowledge him in our life at every aspect. And I know that's impossible. I know it's hard to do. But at some point in time, we need to listen to the words of Jesus, because if we will start to do that, if we will start to recognize him on a daily basis in the smallest aspects of our lives, then we will see God's will be done in our lives. And we will see every time we ask for something that we are connected with God in such a way that our very desire, the things that we really want, are the things that God wants for us. Because we are so connected with God in our relationship, in our acknowledgement of him. Our relationship becomes so tight with God that our very thoughts, he comes in through the Holy Spirit and he starts controlling really what we want and really what we need and really what we should be doing and where should we should be going and what we should be doing in our daily lives. And when we get into that part of our relationship with him, it becomes absolutely amazing, because all of a sudden he starts taking care of those things. Our very desire becomes his desire for us. Our very struggles are the struggles that he wants us to be struggling through, and he provides the way out and the way in and the way up. Too many people want to take this passage and they want to turn it around, this ask, seek, and knock. Too many people want to take this passage and say, he'll give you everything you ask for. And they want to turn around in a worldly way. And they want to turn it into a health and wealth gospel that, you know what, you just don't have it because you don't claim it, or you don't have it because you don't believe, or you don't have it because all these different things. Here's the thing. Most things that you don't have, you don't need, and you don't really want in your life. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that we think we need and think we want, we don't really need in our life. As a matter of fact, here's the thing that you need to understand more than anything else today. The reason the culture that we're facing, that we're living in right now, is trying to push God out of everything. Listen to this. Here's the strategy. We're trying to push God out of everything. Do you get that? Do you see that in our culture right now? Trying to push it out of schools, trying to push it out of our government, trying to push it out of our country, trying to push it out of our kids. We're trying to make it so that we're making decisions for ourselves instead of putting God at the center of our lives. We're trying to push God out. Here's the thing. If the strategy is of the world to push God out, to push him out, to get him out of all these different aspects of our life, guess what our strategy should be, Christians? Guess what it should be?
Ask, seek, knock.
Boom. Is bring him in. And if you don't bring him in, who's going to? If you don't set the example, who's going to do it? Who's going to take him to your work if you don't? If you don't ask him to come into your work, who's going to take him into your school if you don't take him into your school? Who's going to bring the truth of God's word into people's lives if you don't? And the only way that's going to happen is if we are in a constant state of acknowledgement of who he is every day. Now, it doesn't come natural, and it doesn't come easy. But Jesus says, he says very plainly, ask. Just ask. Can you do that? Even a child can ask. It's not impossible. I'm not telling you to go and build a skyscraper. I'm just telling you, if you start to ask God to be there, he'll be there. I'm just telling you, if you just ask him to intervene, he'll intervene. If you'll just see him and seek him, if you'll just open your eyes to the way that he's working, the way, listen to me, the way he's working, not the way we want him to work, you'll see him. If you'll start knocking, he will answer that door. It's not that hard. It just takes a desire for him in your life. There's a little passage in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm done, believe it or not. We're going to be finished right here. Can't believe I didn't even get an amen on that one. Proverbs chapter 3. I know this sounds simple, and it is. Can you hear me there in the back? Yeah? He didn't make it hard. And he didn't make it too difficult. He makes it so every one of us can do it. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen to what he says, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God is wanting to do amazing, incredible things through Tracy, and through Ron, and through Mark. He's wanting to do amazing things through Trish. I see you back there. And Bill. Bill, can you hear me? He wants to do amazing things through you. Even you, Jody, you're smiling. Yeah, he does. He wants to do amazing things through Dixie and Hope. Brenda, his plans are greater than what you could ever think of. He loves you. And what he wants us to do is acknowledge him in all of our ways. Have a constant conversation with him every day, at every moment. Seek him out in every decision. And his will be done. and it will be amazing. Amen? Ask, seek, knock, and he will answer. Let's stand and sing. Side note, has nothing to do with the message this morning. We have a perfect record in softball right now. It's 1-0, which is very strange because we're usually 0-1. We found out the secret to our success. I don't put a glove on my hand, I put a clipboard. And I kept score. You know what? Just listening to what he asks us to do can bring great joy. Just asking where he wants us to go can bring great fulfillment. Just being obedient to what he says will always be right. Today I encourage you to listen. To listen to what he's saying. No matter how crazy, no matter how off the wall it might be. Believe. Trust. And take a step and see what he'll do when you obey. Let's sing.